280.
You guys talk to or co-mingle with some of the Ramsey superintendents and, you know, Matt Dean and all that.
Hello, hello.
All right. Welcome, ma'am.
Well, obviously sat here for a little bit and got to listen about it, so
please,
I will not be a broken record and say the same things that have already been said.
Just to make sure you're not, this isn't an evaluation issue, it's a classification issue?
Correct.
Okay. So the 138,467 is not, okay.
Correct. Purely classification, so.
Did you get an impact card?
I did. It's somewhere. I don't have it on my person at the moment, but I have one somewhere.
He's just checking up on the
You wouldn't happen to have it in your bag, would you?
Do I have it in my bag?
I mean, I'm sort of being serious. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you have it somewhere? I mean, I had one in my bag and I had to dig for it.
I remember pulling it out of the, in my pile of mail and having it.
You've had one.
I've had one.
And this is not a leading question.
Yeah,
it's fine. Go ahead.
So, yeah, just regarding the classification, I mean, my personal situation, again, I've heard everyone else's perspective. I'm not going to quote case law or anything like that, but I worked for a vacation rental management company in Denver and was a buyer consultant for vacation rental owners across the country. So
okay.
It was what led me to move to Branson because this is one of the best places in the whole country to do this. And that's where I bought my first property to use a vacation rental. So things like taxes, it's always a question that would come up for people who are looking in new markets to invest in. And something that, you know, obviously you don't want to be like a state like California or New York where the taxes force people to move out and not put money into it. So that's why, again, chose Branson, got my property. And, again, kind of my unique perspective is I moved here because of the whole pandemic and got to live in my vacation rental from September of last year through April. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was taking guests before that and it's taking guests now, but I mean, that was something that was from a flexible residential usage standpoint. Like, I mean, that's why I was able to go and stay there and use it for my personal use to live in. So,
sure.
So you have a true mixed use on that one.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've got family that's coming here a couple weeks. And, you know, it's a vacation home. So they like coming here. And so it's truly a mixed use in my case. So, but, yeah, I mean, now I'm here. I'm a realtor. And, Jeff, I know you're on the legislative board. And, I mean, what's the opinion of, you know, Missouri Realtors on this? Have they talked about this in the past? Like,
I'm not representing, you know, Missouri Realtors nor the board sitting
so,
here.
I mean, I don't know the history because I'm relatively new here, but, I mean, as my understanding, that this might have come up in the past with the commercial tax piece, and I don't know if it got shot down, but, you know, it's just we don't want this, like, waterfall effect of, you know, and then it's like, okay, do we start to tax long-term rentals at this or, you know, tax the service businesses, realtors at the same, I mean, just don't want that, you know, to be the way that it could potentially turn out, so.
Jeff, and I think in the Ozarks, you would say that the report of realtors is again it. That's A-G-I-N.
Oh, gosh.
So, maybe.
Yeah, oh, maybe. Man. That's some of your dad's humor right there.
Yeah, it probably
yeah.
Is.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
That
yeah, I mean, so yeah, I mean, just the true mixed usage. I mean, that's something that you never know what the future holds, so.
So what I hear you saying is, you know, like yours, you've lived in it. Yes, you bought it to produce income, but you've lived in it, and it's a mixed use of sorts. So, you know, the classification of 100% commercial really didn't, you know, I mean, applies part of the time, but doesn't apply part of the time. I mean,
truly,
you know,
yeah.
It was some
exactly.
Commercial, it was some residential. So it's not real clear.
That's exactly right. So, and that's kind of like, who knows what the future holds? Like, if I needed to get a long-term tenant, I mean, that could obviously change, but I don't know what triggers the commercial tax. Is it just you just rent one night, and then from that point going forward, you are forever 100% commercial? Is that, that's how I understand it?
And where your nightly rental is in Meadowbrook condos, I mean, do the majority of the people, I mean, it's obviously okay to do nightly rental there. And, there are probably some people that live there full time and
yeah.
Some people that rent there. Right?
Absolutely. But some people use it as a second home. People rent there. People stay there and live there a long time, or long term.
Question that you asked, the assessor's office has utilize or is looking at the language from the Shipman case that says if it's available for the entire year for rent, then it's, in other words, they classify it based on availability versus. Now, we're not saying that we think that necessarily applies in this situation, but I've just answered your question about.
Sure.
There's a Supreme Court case that talks about if it's available 365 days a year, then it's 100% commercial.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on Stone County's way they do their system?
I don't think they bother.
No, I mean they have a sort of system.
How do they do it? Honestly, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. I talked to Bill McCullough, his attorney over there, and said he can't remember the last time they had a BOE appeal. So I don't know what he's doing.
All right.
So.
And that's all I really have. So.
Okay. Hey. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for listening.
Of course. And we're tabling these.
Yeah.
So I know you guys are going to look it all over. I won't make it extra lengthy. I'll just share my thoughts and appreciate it.
You might want to see if he knows if he's in the city or if he's in the county.
For what reason?
His tax code is county tax code. Other houses around him is in the city.
Why would that be?
Yeah.
Hey, are you in the city or the county?
Technically in the county.
That's inside the city limits.
It's in the city limits, but the way it's...
The city has sends letters every year to those Meadowbrook condos, giving them incentives asking...
So you're still in the county
the
there?
In
the
but
county.
But you're not required to annex into the city.
How crazy is that? Because he was just checking and he saw a bunch of the neighbors in the city, and it shows you're in the county...
There's two condos in that building that's inside the city limits. There's four that shows.
Is that Branson's city limits?
Yeah.
When you're selling those,
so those people have to have business licenses, and the other people don't.
I don't know what the county
requires. Yeah. So if you call, you got to wait for Tina County Deputy. Your neighbor calls, they get a Branson PD.
Right, I don't know. I don't know who did that.
Hopefully they won't, you know. Yeah. No, this guy's in the county. He didn't annex. We're not going to save him. Hopefully you have.
I know as far as voting goes, we get a lot of arguments because, well, my neighbor's in this, he votes for the mayor. But your property's in the county, you wasn't annexed yet. So that's kind of one of the things I thought.
All right.
Bring up, wild, right? You don't know. I know the city of Branson wants not to be able to have a business license.
Yep, and I went through that whole process and then. Called the city, and they're like, you don't need it, you're actually not in the city.
Well, technically, you're supposed to have a business personal property account also.
Yeah, I've got that on file. So, that's
assuming.
Have we done Jeffrey Foster?
Pardon?
Assuming vacation rentals are classified as a business.
Well, right now, if you write it off to the IRS,
okay, well, it's.
But as far as the IRS is concerned, I'm considered residential because I've appreciated for 27 and a half years, not 39. You know, it's on the IRS tax form, they're. Classify it and use residential.
331 was Stuffel Beam. Did we not get that on the table list?
We did get it on the table list.
Okay.
Jim is representing a lot of people. Is he coming in person?
Who?
He did. He came in.
Oh, yeah. We've already talked to him this morning.
Yeah.
We'll get out of here.
All right. We'll see you.
It's not over.
Every season.
Thank you.
Are we going to get to the motels though to get them finished up? Or are we going to?
I'm sorry.
We have three motels, I believe. We've got the Grand Plaza, and we have Castle.
What have you got? Have you got one?
It's Brian.
What's the?
You don't have one, do you? No, you don't have one. Do you?
He's here to observe.
He's got them all.
I thought maybe.
I'm looking at 268 and 269. And then I've got to look and see what the Grand Plaza was.
Yeah, we got to call some out of town people, right?
Grand Plaza is 283. That's our three. And then that way it would just all be, I think, just classification questions.
Okay, these guys on the Grand Plaza, it says property valuation services, so we actually have a some sort of an appraisal in this case from them? Or do we?
That's 268?
Yeah. No, it's 283.
283 is the Grand Plaza.
Okay.
I was working with Blake Sinor on his evaluation, and I have an amount, but he didn't like it, and so he's going to talk with you.
Okay, and the amount was based on did you do an income approach or something?
Yeah, he gave me his numbers.
Okay. And the is this 7.6, that's not income approach, or is it?
No, what you always see printed on yours at the top is our cost approach out of our computer.
Okay.
And his income approach was $7,599.60.
Okay, so it was right next to the actual cost approach then.
Okay, so do we want to move to BOE number 283? Which is Grand Plaza Hotel. Is that something that...
That's fine.
If we could, I'd like to just get the valuation ones out of the way.
It says property valuation service. I'm just curious as to whether or not they've already submitted to you or us any kind of valuation. Do they have a different income approach calculation?
I never heard from him after I gave him the information. He didn't... Agreed, yes, and so there we were.
He says opinion of market value is $5.7
million. And this here just got emailed to me last night, so I put it in here today. This here is...
Okay, that's an income cap.
He also gave me a scope of work for the Grand Plaza with all the repairs needed. I don't know what that would do for it.
The depreciation, if there is there been any depreciation?
So what was it last year? What was their valuation last year? And I can give them a call. That would probably be the best thing.
$5,533,791.
And they're another one, they've been just kind of riding it, so.
They've been here.
It's been that price since 2015.
So you guys did turn the microphone on, right?
I believe so.
We're ready to go. Okay.
Our number, is it 6027? Is that what our code, phone code? I lost my phone code sheet.
Higher room rates, I assume. Or?
Yeah.
It's under evidence.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Their room rate comes in at $38,000 based on this, and they're, you know, like in that $40,000 range. So they're, by doing it by the income approach, it came out to again $38,000 a room instead of $40. It brought them down on that.
You're going to be looking for Blake Sinor.
Hey, you're calling. This is Blake.
Hey, Blake. This is Jeff Reynolds with the Taint County Board of Equalization. Did I catch you okay time?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk.
All right, very good. You're here with other board member David Akers in the county assessor's office. Anyway, we're looking at your appeal here on the Grand Plaza Hotel, obviously. And we see that the